This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صدق الله العظيم. There are sisters who are listening, yes? So dear brothers and sisters, first, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's nice to be here with you guys, nice to see you guys. And inshallah, this won't be just the first time, it'll be many times inshallah. The topic is lustful soul. Whoever chose the topic could have tilted it to a bit more of a positive one. When you hear lustful soul, it means it's a lustful one looking for the wrong things. But the soul doesn't have to be that. Because Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. The soul, the ego is such that Allah has ordained, Allah has given the ego such things that it's got both. It can be sinful in its nature, and it can be God-fearing in its nature. This is about the nafs, Allah has said. Nafs is not a bad thing, but nafs can be a bad thing. There's a natural default of the nafs, of the ego. When I say nafs, I mean ego, I mean one's lust, one's desires inside. So anytime I use nafs in this talk, that's what I'm referring to. The nafs has got a default, and the default of the nafs is to become rebellious, to become something that wants to break the boundaries, to become something that wants to rebel. But the nafs can be something that wants to be conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal. But you have to train it to do that. Let me give you an example, yeah? You know, when you have a little kid, either you've got your own little kid, you've had your little kid, you've got a nephew, you've got a niece, someone, and you've seen the little kid. Now, little kids, they have tantrums. Do you know what tantrums are? Tantrums, what do you call them? Tantrums, yeah? You know tantrums? Imagine a little kid wants a lollipop. So a kid will come to you and say, lollipop, lollipop, papa, lollipop, I mean lollipop. Now, they want that lollipop. If you just give him that lollipop, they've got the lollipop, they'll suck it, they'll be happy, they'll, you know, it's all fine. But then after a while, after a day or so, lollipop, lollipop, mama lollipop, sweetie, sweetie, lollipop, sweetie, sweetie, lollipop. Now, the thing is, if you just give it, you've given it. They've got what they want. They know every time they say lollipop, they go lollipop, lollipop. Now, one day what happens is you realize that the kiddie that you love and so sweet, and you just stick a lollipop in his gob to shut him up and do whatever you want, you realize that there's some darkness on the teeth. And now you know that the tartar is going to continue to grow inside the mouth and it's going to cause them pain. So you know what's going to happen. So you decide not to give the lollipop the next time they're asked. So they say, mama, lollipop. Say, ne puttara, lollipop not good for you. Lollipop. I said, puttara not good for you. Lollipop. Right, now you can imagine what's going to happen. If you've just been given the lollipop day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, one day you say, no lollipop, lollipop! And they'll cry, they'll beat their hands on the ground, they'll kick their legs. You know what 2-year-olds do? They just fall down. Woo! Bang! Have you seen your 2-year-olds do that? Yes? My 2-year-old used to do that, I tell you. Sometimes used to go there and like a goalie rush to save their head from hitting the floor. But they just fall back. Because they know if they do these tantrums, the more they do it, the more likely you are to give in, because they know there's some love in the heart. So they put one up. Now let's say, for example, if Papa didn't give it, they go to Mama. They go to Ammi Jan. They go to Big Sister. They go to Dadi Jan. They go to Grandmother. They'll go to Nani. They go whoever they've got around to get the lollipop. And most, if you're living with Grandpa and Grandma, you ain't got no discipline in the house. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't got no discipline in the house. Some of you are smiling, yeah? What can you do? That Grandpa or Grandma's only got a few more years left. So they think, yeah, not one lollipop stick, 2 in 1 go. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, yeah. Let's sizzle you. Let's sizzle it in your mouth. All right. The thing is, imagine you hadn't given it and after a long time you stopped them. Is the tantrum today, after so many days you said you're not going to give it, is the tantrum going to be a tantrum that is a small tantrum or a big tantrum? Tell me. You know, after so many days suddenly you said, I'm not going to give you lollipop. Is the tantrum going to be a big tantrum or a small one? A big one. A big one. And if you carry on depriving it, all right? Let's imagine I said, okay, I'm not going to give it. Now, the tantrum went on for 10 minutes. 10 minutes. And the kid's crying. In the end, you said, oh, forget this, man. I can't take this. You know what? Get a lollipop here. Put that, open your mouth. Psst. Ah. Now you've done bigger damage. You've just done bigger damage. What's that? You have now taught the kid 10 minutes of a tantrum and then you can get lollipop. The next time the kid asks for a lollipop and 10 minutes go by, do you think the kid's going to stop at a 10 minutes tantrum, or do you think the kid's going to think, if I just can get the tantrum to go a bit longer, I'll get my lollipop? What do you think he's going to do? Go a bit longer, yes? Yeah. How many lollipops do you have a day? I'm joking. So what happens is, he knows if he goes a little bit more, he'll get it. So this time 12 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And if he doesn't get it like that, he'll show he's upset. He'll show he's not happy. He'll show, I don't want this. I don't want to eat. I don't want to know. Now he starts to do different things. First he was just crying. Now he's getting a bit older. He wants to show you that he's going to hurt you in a different way. Would you roti ni kani? Roti ni kani? No. No. You want me to eat roti?
Lollipop.
Now you think, okay, chalo putta dina, he's going to have lollipop if I give him. So you give it to him. Ah, you killed it even more. Now they know. I can do different tactics and I'll get the lollipop off them. Forget lollipop. Soon, it's going to be ice cream. Every time the ice cream van comes, it's going to be ice cream. You got to give the ice cream. If you don't give the ice cream, it's going to tantrum. If you don't give them, there's going to be a bit more emotions and so on and so forth, right? Now, why am I saying this to you is, let's look at it from a different perspective. Imagine the child was after something from you, even if it was a lollipop. And you taught the kid, you said, listen, putter, I've given you one lollipop, yeah? That's fine. We don't have that many lollipops. You can't have it. You just have it. Maybe once a week, I'll give you a lollipop. So when that once a week comes, he just has lollipop, he's fine. Every week, Friday, you're going to give him lollipop. Friday, they have lollipop, that's it. No other lollipop, no other time. If you control him with sweets, chocolates, chocky bars, whatever you've got, yep, and you control it in your house, and you've got a limit to how much they can have, they will get used to it. They will only demand what they've got and what you give them. Even a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, guaranteed, you will be able to get them to have what you want them to have. Any parents who have trained their kids like that, please put your hands up. Who have limits in the house, just say, no, you can only have that much. Yep. Hey, man, there's only 4 of us here, you know? What's the rest of you, man? You guys love your dentists, you know, like, try to give them a lot of business, you know? Anyway, Well, I want to say to you, you can get them used to it if you put your principle inside your place in the beginning. Now, it's not going to be easy. That same kid will show you tantrum as well. You're trying to train them, but they will show you trying to, but it won't be as bad as the other one. Do you agree with me or not? You train them from day number one. You know, here's a lollipop, fine, Friday. The next Friday, you get a lollipop, fine. Every Friday, you get a lollipop. Saturday, Sunday, just don't ask. Now, Saturday, Sunday, they feel like having a lollipop. So they come, lollipop, lollipop. And then you say, look, but that I've told you, Friday, it's not Friday. Now, they might show a bit of a tantrum. As long as everyone's doing the same, this is the key to it. As long as everybody in the house is all stuck with the same principle, there's no big sister who suddenly, mom's not here, dad's not here, quick lollipop, yeah, quickly, hey, jaldi, jaldi, suck it, break it, eat it, you know, wash your mouth, I don't want anyone to, you know, shake your hand and find it all sticky, you know what I'm saying? Get it inside. As long as no one's breaking the rules inside the house and everybody's staying on the one rule, that kid very easily will learn how to obey to your rules. Now, why I've said this is because, you know, we've all got a side inside us. We've got an ego inside us. That ego says to you and me, I want to sit down. I don't want to do work. That ego says, I don't want to give this away. That ego says, I want to keep this to myself. That ego says, I'm not going to give in to that person. He's got to say sorry to me first. Who does he think he is? Going to get me to sorry sorry first. Me not going to say sorry first. He's going to say sorry first. We've all got an ego inside that's got its set ways. It's set to do these things. And the same ego, it says, forget lollipop, the same ego will say to you, depending on your age, it will say, it will demand something from you. So if it's a, let's say it's a teenager. A teenager is not going to ask for a lollipop. A teenager is not going to ask for a lollipop. A teenager will say, mobile phone. Dad, can I have a mobile phone, please? Dad, come on, I need a mobile phone. But you're only 13 years old, 12 years old. What do you need a mobile phone for? Dad, yeah, one of them, okay, I'll give you one of those Nokias. Which Nokia, Dad? You know, one of those that are, you know, 1990s Nokia. But Dad, you know, I need a smartphone. But then why do you need a smartphone? I just need a smartphone. I got to do my homework in it, you see? Homework in it. You go do your homework on your phone? Now, kids ask for a smartphone, right? He wants to do his homework on his smartphone. 12, 13 years old, whatever he is. All right? And the thing is, if you don't realize this is the ego and this is going to turn into a tantrum, how? You as a father say, no, son, don't worry about it. You don't need this phone. But Dad, I do need it. Dad, I need it. All my friends have got it. I need it. You know, they're all got it. They're all playing on. They're all doing this. They're all doing that. I've got to be part of it. You know, I feel a bit lost when they talk to me. I haven't got one. Son, you don't need... Now the son's going to go to the mom. Mom, I need a smartphone. Can you hear it coming out? He won't ask for a lollipop. He's asking, smartphone! The thing is, it's the same ego. You know, it was lollipop yesterday. It was ice cream the next day. It was Lego the next day. It was Star Wars the next day. It was something else the next day. It was the latest trainers the next day. It was something else the next day. And now it's mobile phone. A mobile phone is just the beginning of a teenage life. The next thing they want is they want the, you know, Xbox. They want this. They want the latest PS. They want the PS4. They want something else. They want to be hooked up to technology. And each time they put the demand on the table in different ways. It's the same child inside. But it's in a different way. Are you all following me? Yeah? Till he gets married. Now some people, they get married, but they're still kids. The guy's married, but he's still a kid. She's still a kid. You say, no, we're talking about money, sir. We don't marry kids like that, you know. We're not like that here in Scotland, you know. Let me tell you how it works. The man is married. He's just married another man's daughter. And they live happily ever after. That's the beginning. You know the jackanories you hear when you're small? You know stories? Every fairy tale you hear at the end, and they live, it always ends up with, he married her and they all live happily ever after. Well, my friend, happily ever after is only in one place. That is called Jannah. All right? Happily ever after is Jannah. Don't you ever think happily ever after is going to happen in this world. It don't exist, Jama'ah. Don't exist. It don't happen. Happily ever after is in Jannah. So they got married, 4 months, lovely. 6 months, lovely. 1 year gone, still okay. You know they say, yeah, before they met, they were two lonely birds. When they met, they were two loving birds. And after they got married, they were two angry birds. Angry birds. Right? Now they're married. 1 year goes, 2 year goes, 3 year goes. Now you know all that fun, all that lovely, dovey. I am Bollywood, you are Hollywood. Both of us are the best. We live happily ever after. You know all that kind of stuff? You know the fairy tale stuff? It starts to disappear. Life kicks in. And now they have to put up with each other. And you know the tantrums? They're still there, my friend. They're still there. The guy was brought up on rotiyan. You know rotiyan? And paya? You know paya? His mom used to cook paya. He used to have rotiyan and he used to love it. Or maybe parathe. You know parathe? And then, yeah, is it parathe? Parathe. Not parathe, it's parathe. Good. What part of Pakistan are you from?
Punjab.
Well, that's your parathe. I'm talking about the parathe. Parathe and parathe, whatever it is, all right? Now, you're on parathe. His mom used to cook it nicely and he used to have it with all the ghee and everything else and he used to love it. All right. His wife used to make him parathe as well when they got married. She used to wake up religiously wake up to try and give her husband parathe in the morning. Oh, ji, vanji. You can't get better than that. After 2 years, 3 years, yeah, you know, he walks in the house and she's basically sitting on the sofa. Yeah? She's polishing her nails. All right, love. You got a takeaway today? Where are we going to eat, love? Now, after 2 years, 3 years, forget parathe, right? You'd be lucky if you get fish and chips. You'd be lucky, mate. She'd tell you to go to the oven, you know, fridge yourself, take it out. Love, it's only 45 minutes, like, you know? You take it out from there, put it in the oven, and you have it yourself. Now the guy wants his parathe. He say, you haven't cooked for me. What's the matter? You ain't cooked for me. What have you been doing all day? You ain't cooking all day. So first day, you know, Bichara has some sabr, has some patience, goes, gets himself, or goes out, whatever. Second day does it, another month he does it, whatever. Soon, this guy is not going to take that. He's going to come home one day and say, hey, listen, get up from there. Get up. Make me some parathe. Make me some like you used to make me some. Now she might get up and make it once, twice, this, that. In the end, she's got a little ego in her as well. Her ego's telling her to relax. His ego says parathe. Her ego says get out. His ego says one thing. Her ego says nothing. Can you see the kids inside here? Guys, can you see the kids inside here? After a little while, he's going to throw a tantrum. You know his tantrum? It's not going to be lollipop. It's not going to be ice cream. It's not going to be mobile phone. It's going to be, hey, I want my parathe. And I want it now. Man hungry. Man angry. Hungry, angry. Mean double trouble. You know, the guy basically is going to throw his tantrum in an adult way. The tantrum hasn't gone. The human has developed from a kid to an adult. But the kid inside, the ego, has not changed. Has everybody understood the message I'm giving you? Have everyone understood? Right. The deen of Islam has come with all of us being born. Every human being is born with a natural side to throw your tantrums. Every human being has been born with a natural talent to overcome your tantrums. Every human being has been born to be as comfortable as you can be. And every human being has been born to take up any harshness that's out there. You know, right now, you know, our kids, you know these kids? These kids, yeah, ourselves, yeah? We're yesterday's kids, they're today's kids, yeah? We, you know, you take us to Hajj, yeah? You know Hajj, yeah? Hajj today has become so comfortable. It's so comfortable. People, I just can't believe them. They get an express flight. Where people used to go to Hajj in 9 months, they go to Hajj in 12 hours. From Doha to Jeddah, 12 hours. What did the guy do? The guy just packed his bags up. He carried his bags down the stairs into his X5. Yeah? And then he drove to the airport. That's all he did. He just drove. You know how comfortable it is to drive? You know what I'm saying? He's got all the heat, temperature, everything, cruise control. He went all the way to the airport or he got dropped off. He took his luggage out to a trolley. Oh my God, must have killed his back. And then he just rolled the trolley to put his bag, suitcases inside. He then had a Starbucks, he had something else, and he sat down on the plane. And next minute he knows, he dropped off, he dozed off, he did whatever, he read a magazine. Next minute he knows, he's in Jeddah. And then he had to pick his bags up onto another trolley. And then the five-star express came when he got to his hotel and they just rolled all his luggage up the lift into his in the bedroom and they just put it there. Allahu Akbar. And then the guy complains. The guy says, man, this is tough, yaar. Bas hai, bahut tough hai, yaar. Garmi lag rahi hai na. Garmi lag rahi hai. The guy's feeling hot. When people used to make 9 months, they used to travel by their, on their feet. They used to take their own animal all the way to Hajj to sacrifice it. They used to go part by their horse, some by camel, some by ship. And they used to walk and walk until they got to the Kaaba in 9 months. This guy gets there in 9 hours and is complaining. And you know what they do? Oh my God, these guys, yeah. The minute they have a little bit of, you know, it moves from 5-star service to 4.5-star, yeah? 4.5 stars. Lollipop! Comes out. He says, Ore, huh? You cheating me? Cheat me? Take £5,000 from me, huh? Huh? And the salam you give me, huh? It doesn't have enough salt inside there. What kind of service this is, huh? Well, guy, listen, mate. Listen, sabar ya haji. He goes, and the thing is, you know what? He goes into the haram, yeah? He goes around, right? He finds going around the Kaaba on the marble and up on Safa Marwa, yeah? He finds, oh my God, he's tough. He's tough. He's tough. You know all that cherbi inside him? Basically, he's getting burnt off, innit? He's getting burnt off. The guy's sweating a bit, and he's finding it tough. And then, you know, he gets blisters under his feet. It's true or not? He gets blisters. And when he gets blisters, he comes in the hotel room like he's Frankenstein, just about walking inside. Yeah? Oh my God. Oh man. Getting my bath. Oh, these blisters, yeah. Oh, bus, yeah. I can't wait to get back, yeah. Can't wait to get back, yeah. This is tough, yeah. This is tough. Hey, bruv, you haven't even seen Hajj. What are you talking about, bruv? You haven't even been to Mina yet. What's Mina? Bruv, you know Mina, yeah? You know, you go to the toilets, yeah? Everyone's missed the hole. You serious, bruv? Everyone missed the hole. What are you talking about? Yeah, bro, I'm telling you, you know, you have to clean it proper. You have to hold your nose. You have to hold your breath. Oh, yaar, please, yaar. Is there any 5-star hotel there, yaar? Oh, bolo, yaar, any 5-star? You can't get, you really? I'll pay anything I want, man. But you know, it's the sunnah to stay in Mina. So anyway, he goes to Mina, man, the guy's complaining. Left, right, center. He's got air-conditioned tents. Air-conditioned tents. He's just sitting there. He don't have to do nothing. All he has to do is just do dhikr of Allah. And all he's doing is looking at his watch. Kitne baj gaya? Khana kab waqt nahi aaya? Khana kab waqt nahi aaya? So basically, they said they're going to give food at, let's say, 6:30, 7 o'clock. The food gets delayed half an hour, the guy's tantrum starts coming up.
You know that kid inside him? Like a little vampire. You know, when the moon comes out. Oh! When the situation changes around him, he turns into a little monster. Now that monster in him, in her, is still inside. And when the monster goes back in, when he's satisfied, he's got what he wanted. Kya le ji, tiko ji, haan ji, basa ji, haan ji saab hai, thwadi tiko, tusi tiko, everything all right. Yeah, he's happy because his stomach's full, he's got his food, he's all right, he's fine. If he doesn't get his food, if he doesn't get what he wants, he's going to start getting a bit, you know, agitated. Right? He goes to Arafat, he's sweating, he just wants it over. He's going back, now he has to go and throw all the stones, all that. He's got blisters, he's got, you know, other, you know, he's putting Vaseline down there, putting everything else down there to try and make it all soft and whatever, yeah? And he's killing him, he has to wear his ihram, he has to cover his, you know, downstairs, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of things that's going inside his head, he's thinking, man, gotta get back. And he has just done the most comfortable hajj you can imagine. But the guy's complaining, right? If we were born in the middle of Afghanistan, anyone here from Afghanistan? Anyone here from Afghanistan? From the mountains? Anyone? Yeah, but you know, anyone here from a part in Pakistan, from mountainous area? Anyone? No? Well, let me tell you what I've seen people like that. I went to Morocco in the year 1999, I think it was, right? Went with a friend, and we went to stay one night in a place in the middle of the mountains, right? This was in the north of Morocco. This is me and my friend from Madrasa. So we went there. We were having a wonderful time. His grandmother lives on top of a mountain. On top of a mountain. I'm not joking. And we had to climb this mountain to get to their place. We got there, and you know me, I'm just about climbing this mountain. You know, his grandmother at the age of 80, she goes to the bottom, gets two buckets of water, and she climbs that mountain with both buckets of water in her hand. And me, I'm struggling, and she just whizzes past us. Whoa, super grand, you know. What's happening here? Seriously, you know why? Because that woman was born in that place. That woman, and guess what? They don't even wear any trainers. They don't wear any slippers. They can do it barefoot. You know why? Because they just got used to it. We go to Hajj for 2 weeks, get blisters, and we come back. Oh, both. Alhamdulillah, Shukr Allah. 2 weeks you stayed in a comfortable mattress, air con, everything given to you. You did hardly anything, and you start complaining how difficult Hajj was. When, you know, you go to Hajj, I've seen people in Hajj, Allahu Akbar. You see these people from the third world countries. No air tent, no air con tent, none of it. They're sleeping on the streets. They've got no shoes, no slippers. You look at their feet are, they probably belong to Incredible Hulk. You know, the feet, I tell you, Allah's put some iron in their feet because they've been walking on the mountains. They're used to it. Once you get used to it, you can take it. Any of these kids, you take them first year back home and you make them run up and down these hills and so on, they will find it tough. But after a little while, they get used to it. What I'm saying to you, brothers and saying sisters, is my ego inside me, your ego inside you, how much of that kid have we changed? How much is the big question? Because if that kid is inside, you know what happens? Every time you come to a certain cycle, that kid comes out like a monster inside you. Certain people have addictions. Some people are addicted to drugs. Some to alcohol. Some to gambling. Some to, you know, maybe just social websites. Some on technology. Some on their phones. Some on pan. Yeah, some on cigarettes. Some on other things that are around. Certain people get addicted to it and they have to have it. Otherwise that monster is going to come out. Certain people, they've got addicted to laziness. They've got addicted to just being relaxed all the time. They've got addicted to late sleeping, late wake up in the morning. My friend, you're missing Fajr every morning You know, your first problem is you're late up in the night. Why did you get addicted to having, you know, you wind down from work. You come from work, all right? You come from work, you come home, you sit, you know, first you sit with family, fine, you have your roti, whatever you have. Then it's like, okay, you want to wind down a bit, okay? So you got to wash up everything, okay, fine. And then you sit on the sofa by 8 o'clock, 8:30, you pick up the remote control and you think, ah, oh, kids have just gone to bed, it's good. Now it's time for me to flick through the channels. You got yourself into a habit, your little kid inside you demanded the TV, you got into a habit, into an addiction, and you don't even realize it, from 8:30 on that sofa, partly with your mobile phone in your left hand, partly with your right hand with the remote control, flicking through the channels, and mobile phone, bit of social networking, bit of the remote control, bit of the phone, bit of the remote control, bit of the phone, half 10, 11 o'clock, I wake up, now I've got to watch a movie, whatever. It could be 1 o'clock by the time you sleep. You went to sleep late. You watched a movie. You watched a few movies, YouTube, whatever it was. You watched it. Then you went to sleep late. And now you get up at 8, 9 o'clock. You can't get up for Fajr. You complain, you can't get up for Fajr. You know why? You got yourself into a habit of that late sleeping, so you wake up late. Then you complain, you ain't got no time for the dhikr of Allah. You ain't got no time to come and, you know, do your tilawah. You ain't got no time for Islamic books. You have a good intention. You have a very good intention, but it just never gets fulfilled. Why? Because everything comes in your way. It's either going to be Facebook, it's going to be Twitter, one of the two, or it's going to be WhatsApp that's in your way, or it's going to be, you know, time with your wife, or time with your friends, time with your social life, time with something else, time with your kids, time with your work, time with project, time with the magazine, time with whatever else. And then the little time you've got, I'll do it tomorrow. Alright, so basically you got yourself in the habit where it's always one thing or another. You joined the gym, now part of your time is gone with the gym. You joined a badminton club or a snooker club or something else, and you play every week religiously, so you got into that as well. These things can never go away from your life. You join maybe golf, some people love golf, some people love football, some people love cricket, whatever it is. You got into your sports, so you got time for your sports, you got time for TV, you got time for your family, you got time for everything else. And when it comes to the religious part, you just got Juma. Now Juma, the guy just come to Juma. Oh yeah, I'm a good Muslim, yeah. I come to Juma, yeah. I don't miss my Juma. I don't miss my Juma. That's good. Alhamdulillah, you do your Juma. But is that the only time you've got? You know why? Because you made it your habit. Your nafs, your ego inside has got into its default position. Default is laziness. Default is give me a habit. Default is give me what I want. Default is give me comfort. Default is let me be who I want to be. And if you just do that, you've just wasted yourself. If you want to become someone, my friend, Allah Azza wa Jal, His Qur'an says, these are Allah's words. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ O you who are believers, struggle, struggle as you ought to struggle. Struggle, Allah says, struggle, go against yourselves. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ O you who believe, be aware of me. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ Every single soul should see, every nafs should see, every ego, every self should see, every person should see, what is it that you've already sent to me for tomorrow? Sent, not send. You know, sent and send, there's a massive difference. You know, those of you accountants will know right now. 31st of January is coming up, right? 31st of January is coming up, isn't it? You got all the billboard adverts outside there, tells you, get your tax returns before 31st August, right? Now, if you sent it before 31st, you've sent it. If it's the 1st of Feb, you haven't sent it, you're going to send it, and it's late, right? Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us what you've sent in terms of your actions already to Allah, that's what you've banked. That's what's yours. What you're going to send is not yours yet. You know what happens in our minds? Is that somewhere inside that nafs says, oh, don't worry, yaar, don't worry, yaar, don't worry, yaar. I sort myself out, yaar, don't worry, yaar. When I'm 50, I'm going to be banging my head up and down in the masjid, you know what I'm saying? When I'm 55, yaar, You're not going to see me all doing all this stuff. You're going to see me with Quran rocking up and down. When I'm 60, everybody will know me as Haji Sabu. Haji Sabu, because I would have done my Hajj. When I'm 65, they're going to know me as the committee member of the masjid, you know. I'm going to run it. When I'm 70, if I'm living, then I will become counselor. Sort it, man. Now he's got the 50, 55, 60, 65, 70 all in his head. The guy is still 40. The guy ain't got a clue that he might die by 49. Down. Game over. Game over. The guy don't even know he could be kaput before he gets to his dreams. But that's what the nafs says inside. That it will all work out. My friend, you want to make something for Allah, don't start to think about sending. See, 50 is I'm going to send. 55, I'm going to send to Allah. 60, I'm going to send. All these tilawah and Quran, I'm going to send. Today, I'm 40, or I'm 35. Yesterday, I was 34. I was 33 before that. I sent in 34. I sent in 33. That was a sent. Those things have been sent to Allah. If I missed a salah, I have missed it. It's in my record in the next world. If I did it, I've sent it. It's with Allah as a result, I will find it. My friend, don't fool yourself. Rasulullah says what? He says, "Man khafa adlaj, wa man adlaja balagha al-manzil." Whosoever fears that they might not get on time, they come out early. And whoever comes out early, they get there on time. Whoever fears that they might not make it on time, they come out early and they'll get there on time. Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliya. Ala inna sil'ata Allahi al-jannah. Remember that the bargaining of Allah is not a cheap bargain. Remember that that bargain you're making with Allah is to get Jannah in return. It's expensive. Jannah is not cheap, my friend. Jannah can be cheap. If Allah wants to give you a bonus, He gives you a bonus. But Jannah has to be earned. And Jannah to be earned, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us to be quick. Quick with what? Quick with making actions. The thing is, the nafs, the ego will always tell you to go to a default position. My brother, my sister, what you need to do is move. Move. The Quran says what? Fafirru in Allah, run to Allah, run to Allah, be quick and run. The hadith says what? Of Tirmidhi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says what? Badiru bil a'mali sab'a. Be quick to do some actions, be quick to do your actions before one of seven calamities come over you. هَلْ تَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا فَقْرًا مُنْسِيًا. Are you waiting except for a poverty to strike you that will make you forget Allah? Poverty sometimes can make you forget Allah. You're so hungry, you without money, you start forgetting religion. أَوْغِينًا مُطْغِيًا. Are you waiting for anything except for richness and for money that will make you go beyond the limits of Allah? You know, you're saying, if I get some money, if I was to get that money, I'd be sorted. Sorted. And now you're saying, what did I say in Edinburgh? How do you say? Sorted. How do you say sorted? Huh? Mente. Yeah, you're going to mente. That's a good word, brother. I like that. You're going to mente. If you get there, you're going to mente. But what happens? You know what happens? Is you get the money, you get loads of money, you made it, yeah? You know what happens? If that kid inside you ain't sorted out, he's going to say to you, you had one property, secure yourself with two properties. So you go and buy two properties. Then you make some more. And like the brother said, you mint it again. So he says to you, no, you want to, look, you got two properties. Yeah, good. Rent one out, get a third property. You don't worry, after the fourth one, you'll stop. So you buy the third one, then you buy the fourth one. You had a normal car, he tells you to go and buy another car, buy an Audi. He tells you then buy the next car. Then he tells you, oh, yaar, buy the Bentley, yaar. Just get the Bentley. So you get the Bentley. Then he tells you, you got four properties here. You need one in Spain or Dubai. Because every time you're flying out there, so you get one there. And you go one every, Allahu Akbar. There's no end to it. If that kid inside you hasn't been sorted out, you're in trouble, my friend.
أَوْغِنًا مُطْغِيَا.
Are you waiting for anything else except for richness, except for a rich state that will make you go beyond the limits of Allah? My friends, there are people out there who got money and they want girls. They got money, they want fame. They got money, they want holidays. They got money, they want to spend it, they want to throw it. They got money, they want to burn it. They got money, they want to fly across the world. They got money, they want to play politics. They got money, they want to gamble. You know what? They got the money, they can do it all. Do it all, who cares? They can bribe police. They got money, they can bribe MI5s and MI6s. They can bribe that. They got money, they can do that. You know that? You know why? Because the kid inside hasn't been taught a lesson. He's still throwing his tantrums.
هَلْ تَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا فَقْرًا مُنْسِيًا أَوْ غِنًا مُطْغِيًا أَوْ مَرَضًا مُفْسِدًا.
Are you waiting for anything else except for an illness that will corrupt you, that will cripple you? Man, you were so good, everything was wonderful. All of a sudden, you have been diagnosed with cancer. All of a sudden, you find yourself in an accident. All of a sudden, you've been crippled because something happened to you. Something so simple. Anything can happen to your spine, to your nose, to your brain, to your feet. You played football. You just went to play football. And you twisted yourself. You twisted your ankle. That's all you did. Just twisted it. But what happened? You twist in such a bad position that the doctor tells you that, you know what, even after operation, it's still not done. There are so many boys out there, it happens to so many boys. Are you waiting for anything except for an illness to come that will cripple you, that will corrupt you?
أَوْ هَرَمًا مُفْنِدًا. Are you waiting for anything except for an old age where you start to forget what you're saying?
There are certain people who get old, who forget what they're saying. If you want to stop yourself from getting old and forgetting what you're saying, I'll give you a remedy. The remedy is read the Qur'an. The more tilawah, I can guarantee you this. Any man, a woman, who reads the Qur'an daily basis, you will not get to a stage of old health where you are forgetting what you are saying, who you're talking to.
أَوْ مَوْتًا مُجْهِزًا.
Are you waiting for anything else except for a sudden death? Sudden death. Some people, they didn't even say goodbye. And they went. They went. It wasn't even your fault. Some ullu pattu is basically done in the head. He thinks he's going to get to Jannah by blowing everyone else up. And he comes and blows you up as well. Ullu pattu. Damage in the head. Damaged. He goes and blows something up. Goes and crashes something somewhere. It wasn't even your fault. I had a relative of mine on my wife's side. You know the Kenya bombings in the mall happened last year. In the Kenya bombings in the mall. Yeah, my wife's relative, I think one of her uncles was in there. He just went for shopping. That's it. Gone. Blown up. Gone.
Mauta mujhiza. Are you waiting for a death that is sudden?
أَوِ الدَّجَّالِ فَشَرُّ غَائِبٍ يُنْتَظَرُ. Are you waiting for Dajjal? He is the most evil of those things that are awaited of the future. Dajjal, what you're hoping for Dajjal? What are you waiting for Dajjal? These days, you know, the youngsters, they learn half the deen from the internet. They learn, it's a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing is if they learn it from a trusted source, that's fine. If they learn it from some, you know, crackpot, yeah, he's going to damage them. So there are many crackpots out there on the internet. Many crackpots. You know, it's a crack. What do you call crackpots in Andy Melville? Some other word you got? Anything else? Some guy who's like, no, some. I want some. Sorry.
Tapped.
Yeah, that's right. He's tapped. Tapped, lad. So that guy is tapped. And what does he say? He says, that's it. You know, Dajjal is here. Dajjal is here. I am the prophesizer. Gotta listen to me. Illuminati. Freemason. They're gonna get you, bruv. Man, these guys are sickles. Sickles. Like the brother said, tapped in the head. You know what they did? Not this Ramadan, the Ramadan before that. You know, the Olympics was happening in London. The Olympics. 2012 Olympics. These guys made movies.
They made so many clips that the Illuminati and the Zionists are going to blow up Big Ben and the Parliament in 2012 Olympics time inside London. And it was Ramadan time. And it was going like a craze everywhere. I mean, it came, someone dropped a letter to the secretary of the mosque, and the secretary of the mosque pulled me up and said, "Have you read this? Tomorrow apparently is Juma." And they even put a fabricated hadith next to that. The Prophet said, I'm saying it's fabricated, but the Prophet said, when there's going to be two lunar eclipses in the same Ramadan, boom, boom, and Friday's going to fall on, you know, middle of the month, and there's going to be summer, whatever, whatever, whatever. Boom! You better run. I'm telling you. And they were spreading this like crazy through the mosque and intimidating people, telling them. And on the internet, when I went after Tarawih, I went on the internet. And I just checked. I thought, what is this all about? And I found videos after videos, these guys who are tapped, right? They're telling you that they know the Illuminati is going to get you in the Freemason, that this is 2012. This is the year of the Zionists. This is when they're going to show the prominence. And the one eye. Hey, Jimmy. One eye. It's going to get you. Because they've seen this sign and this movie and that video and that clip and this part. And they put it all together and they make it look real. And man, it was getting a big hype. And I thought, Ya Allah. So anyway, the next day, it was a Friday, the bomb's supposed to go off, right? I don't know what bomb in their head is supposed to go off, right? It never happened. Say Alhamdulillah. It never happened, right? So I went back on the internet. I thought, what they're going to say? So I went on the internet. They said, oh, we got the date wrong. It's going to be next week. What? You lot are crazy, man. Oh, anyway, next week, I waited till next week, right? So next week, they said, it's going to happen. It never happened. I thought, okay, what are they going to say right now? So I scrolled down and saw what they're saying. And you know, these guys, they're getting everyone dissing them. They're saying, you know, load of pattus, and you tapped, and you this, and you that, right? They're saying all the words of fathom words that can towards them, right? And you know what they wrote now? They said that, oh, it's going to happen in 2012, but it's not going to happen. We got it wrong, you see. It's not the Summer Olympics, it's the Winter Olympics. Oh, okay, let's wait for the Winter Olympics. So we waited for the Winter Olympics. 2012 Winter Olympics came, and they started all again. Illuminati, there's a Zionist here, this and that. And you got all these shuyukhs on the internet, they're saying, 2012. It's all going to happen. Boom, somewhere's going to happen, and the Zionist is going to come out, and the Illuminati is going to come out, they're going to take over the world. One new world order. I said so. I was the prophecy. You never listened to me. Tough luck. That's all they want to say to you. They want to say to you, tough luck for not listening to them. You know what happened after that? 2012 winter went. We didn't even hear about it. What was it all about? Now they're still on there. They're still saying Illuminati. They're making new videos out. They're putting up, Dajjal's coming. Did you know that, you know, Tamim Adadi from the Prophet's time, he got shipwrecked. This is a hadith of Muslim, right? These guys, I'm telling you, they are proper tapped. Have you got a more word, better word for that? I want to go to the next level. Sorry? Was it Nabdis? Numpties. Ah, see, they're numpties. So they go to the next level, these numpties. What do? They just want to make your life miserable. These guys are saying, Tamim al-Dari, radiallahu anhu, there's a hadith about Dajjal, that his ship actually got wrecked. And he was on an island, and he actually saw Dajjal. So he came back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got him to report to everybody what he saw. He was on an island somewhere in Arabia, somewhere got shipwrecked for 1 month. He went, came back another month, and he narrated that. It's a sahih hadith in Muslim. Fine. You know what these sheikhs are saying on the internet? To all these numpties? You know what they're saying? They're saying that island, hey Jimmy, listen to me. Now that island where he got struck, no, Jimmy, it wasn't Arabia. It was Britain. What? Britain? Yeah, Jimmy, Britain. The Dajjal is here, you know. The Dajjal is here. What are you talking about? And these kids, youngsters, they all get all hyped up about it. We know, it's coming. And then they get paranoid. They get absolutely paranoid. You know, that 2012 summer, one friend of mine,
working for a Muslim organization, he said, Sheikh, he said, I feel like taking all my stuff into a van. And this is true, he said this to me. He said, in London, he's talking to me, yeah? He said, I want to shove my van with as much things I can get inside here before that bomb goes off. And I want to get my family inside there. And I want to drive as far as I can towards Scotland. He seriously said that. He said, Scotland. Because you guys apparently are out of the, you know, you're out of the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, you live in the mountains, you know. He said that. Now people get cracked. Why? Just because of some theory. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us what? Awid dajjalu fa sharru ghaibin tadhar. Are you waiting for Dajjal? Because Dajjal is the most evil of awaited things. My friend, my young friend, don't get excited about Dajjal. Dajjal is not someone you get excited about. You're supposed to get fearful of Dajjal. And that's supposed to make you do more a'mal for Allah because the day of judgment is coming. The whole point of our Prophet ﷺ telling you and me about Dajjal is because he wants you to move and do your actions before Dajjal comes. Not because you're going to sit there 2-3 hours on the internet trying to look after YouTube video, after YouTube video, after YouTube video. Oh my God, he's going to knock on my door soon. Oh my God, I'm finished. My credit card, I used it. They know who I am. The cameras are watching me. Oh my God, Illuminati everywhere. They're crazy. And they look out for signs and they find Illuminati signs everywhere they want. Now look at that. Look at that clock. Yep. Look at that clock. You see that clock there? Look at that clock. How many seconds is it? 13. How many seconds is it? 13. Illuminati. Did you see that? Illuminati. 13. The number 13. Wherever they see 13, it's Illuminati. And there's a pattern. I bet you if you count the suffs from here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you're going to end up in 13. Or 11. See, what is it? If they don't go to 13, they're going to end up in 11. If they get 11, they say it's from some Cyrus. I don't know, some Osiris. I don't know what they say. If it's 12, it's something Zion. See, 2, 1, 2 looked like Zion. If it's 13, it's Illuminati. If it's 14, something else. 15, something else. They play with these numbers. And it's like Illuminati, Illuminati, everything. They're what? The numpties. What are they? Numpties, tapped, crackpots. Alright, anyway. Rasulullah said the last thing. He said what? Awis-sa'a fas-sa'atu adha wa amar. Are you waiting for the last hour? For the last hour is something which is going to be very bitter. The last hour is going to be something which is a great catastrophe. Now the last hour which Rasulullah talked about, that's coming, my friend. One of these seven things are going to hit you. Either it's going to be poverty that will make you forget Allah, or richness that makes you go beyond the limits of Allah, or an illness that cripples you, or an old age that makes you forget what you're saying, or it's going to be a sudden death, or it's going to be the Dajjal, or it's going to be the last hour. One of those seven things are going to hit you. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, before that comes, he said, badiru bil a'mal. He said, be quick to do your actions. Because you know the state you and me are in right now, we're not going to be in that state forever. You're not going to be in that state. You're not going to be in that state. Your health will deteriorate. Your wealth will go in different directions. Your family members will either go up, go down. Things are always changing. The health, once it goes down, before you never used to feel cold. Soon you feel cold very quickly. Before they used to play football 3 times a week. And they still used to ask for more. And now the guy plays once in his 30s. He plays once and he's in bed next morning. He's Before he, basically the guy could eat. When he went for, you know, doner and chips, the guy would take a full doner, full chips. After that, quarter pounder, straight in. Then get some wings as well and pizza, all in one. He says, give me more. And now, the guy basically just takes a bit of a roti, a few couple of rotis in his stomach, and basically he's saying, my belly's sticking out. He can't take it. There's too much. You know why? Your digestive system is getting slower. Your health is going to start deteriorating. Your body never starts to fix up as it used to when you're in your 20s. You're not invincible. Start doing action and fix the kid up inside. How do you fix the kid up? I'm going to say this to you and I'm going to end. Okay? How do you fix the kid up inside? The ego, you know the ego I talked about? How do you fix that up? The only one way to fix the kid up is to start to become spiritual. The kid likes material things. Material things. The opposite of it is to go for spiritual things. My friend, you know when you want to go for an antidote? You got a disease, you want to go for an antidote? The antidote to everything is the opposite. It's your opposite. You want to give your kid, your ego inside you, you want to give it an antidote? It's the dhikr of Allah. What is it? The dhikr of Allah. You do tilawah of the Quran, you remember Allah. The more you connect with your soul to Allah, the more that kid starts to move, the ego starts to move from a rebellious one into one that starts to listen to you. The more you start to pray salah and you concentrate on, not just salah like just salah without anything else inside. Salah by remembering Allah. Dhikr with remembering Allah. Taking Allah's name, spending time, sitting down, doing muraqabah and thinking about Allah, thinking about death, think about the akhirah, think about the grave, think about the day of judgment, think about returning to Allah, think about death and beyond. These are things that change the mind, change the soul, make it more connected to Allah and make the kid, the ego inside, make it weak. Allah Azza wa Jalla said what? وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. The more zikr you do, the more you remember Allah, the more the nafs will say, you know what, I don't want to sit here, I want to stand up for tahajjud. I don't want to sit on my sofa, I want to stand up on the prayer mat. I don't want to spend time with listening and talking to these people, I want to spend time with my Allah. I don't want to spend this with this world and whatever I'm doing, I've done. I want to spend time with my akhirah. The more you soften that soul up inside, the more ready, automatically guaranteed, your nafs will tell you it wants to do things. Your nafs, your ego will prompt you to say, I want to do these good things. You know why? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla has put both the mechanisms inside. All you have to do is stop its tantrums. This is the way to stop its tantrums. You know what Allah said about tahajjud in the Quran? Allah said what? When you get up in the night and do tahajjud, Allah said what? Allah said, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Get up in the night and start reading the Quran slowly in prayer. What did Allah say? Allah said, it is what? إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطَأً وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. Getting up in the night, and that making, when you get up in the night, it's not an easy thing to just get up in the night to pray for Allah. If you are able to get up in the night, أَشَدُّ وَطَأً, you just stomped your own ego, you just hit your own ego, you just stepped your own ego. أَشَدُّ وَطَأً وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. And the best of statements will come out of your mouth right now. Allahu Akbar. You step, you stomp your ego. Why? Because you have gone against your ego. The antidote to this kid ego, to the tantrums inside, to go against it, to go against it. Do you understand, brothers? Do you understand? Anyway, it's been lovely evening spending time with yourselves. I hope Allah Azza wa Jal makes this a moment of change for all of us, for us to do His dhikr, for us to remember Him, for us to get close to Him, for us to control our ego, our nafs, for us to learn how to not show our tantrums, whatever age we are, the different tantrums, for us to be quick to do our actions, for us to get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, for us to be the first to try and make Allah pleased. May Allah Azza wa Jal make that happen. As soon as possible, make your niyyah right now that you're going to do from today. You're going to get close to Allah. Do your tawbah now. From today, you're going to change. From tonight, you're going to change. From tomorrow morning, you're a different person. Make that intention right now. May Allah make that true for all of us. Ameen. Jazakumullah khair. Wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillah.